Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated June 2nd, 2017. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
I'm going real well, Lord Baldrith. Reasonable week at work, moderately busy. Didn't get as much time to play as I want to, but I've discovered a few new things and having fun, so it's all good. And how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well as well. Another busy week for me too, so not much time playing, but awesome to play when I get to.
Oh, it's great. Yes. Yeah, I've been gleaning through the forums and the little time I have to read, I've picked up a few gems. And I've learnt the art of buffing, which is actually quite cool, I think.
Oh, really? I haven't learned that. What's that all about?
Well, apparently, I don't know whether you've noticed, but you know when you cast a buff on yourself, now it's lasting a hell of a lot longer than it used to.
Yeah, I heard they were going to try to improve that.
Yeah. Well, for example, when I cast something like Air's Embrace, so it gives increased dexterity. Now it lasts for nearly an hour instead of a few minutes.
Wow, now that is a big improvement. Wasn't it like just like a minute before?
Yeah, it was. Depending on the buff, I can't tell you the figures, but I've got three main ones. I've got the Air's Embrace, Strength of Earth, that gives me more strength, and the one that gives more intelligence, which I've got a mental block about. Anyway. They last for somewhere between 1 and 3 minutes, generally. And now, well, Air's Embrace is lasting a good hour, I think. And the other one's like between 30, 40 minutes or more. And this is just awesome.
So can you cast it outside of combat, or do you got to kind of put it on your bar still?
Okay, you can cast it outside of combat, but apparently it follows similar rules to other glyphs. If you stack it, it works a bit better.
Okay, so you want to try to get a stack of it on.
Yeah. So I followed somebody's advice and made a totally separate combat bar with all the buffs and things on it and a bit of other rubbish just to make up the numbers so you don't have blanks. Walk into a zone. Now, this takes a little bit of effort and people might say it's a waste of time and it's too much trouble, but if you want to do it, it could be worthwhile. So you walk into an adventuring zone. When you're at the gate, right, go into combat, switch over decks to your buff deck, and you'll see all the glyphs sliding up. And it won't be long, it'll only be a minute or two before you can slide them over and stack them. Get a 5-stack of Air's Embrace, cast that one, Ripper. I only have 4 glyphs at the moment of the other two, so a 4-stack of Strength of Earth and a 4-stack of the other one, and it does work a bit better. It gives me an extra 3 or 4 dexterity and a bit more strength, a bit more intelligence, and then, okay, that's it, I'm buffed up. Now switch decks to my combat deck, and away I go.
Hey, that's a pretty slick idea. I actually like that.
Yeah, it's great. Yes. And I'm using it. And, yeah, I'm powering through a little bit faster and better. Not only that, I've started to drink potions, and potions are awesome.
Yeah, potions have actually been greatly improved. And food.
Oh yes, they have. You know, a couple of lots of food, and when I get into deep trouble, a drink of a health potion imbued. That's nice.
Hey, just curious, speaking of buffs, is the buff like a dodge and all those improved time too?
No, sadly they're not. No. I thought of that and I tried stacking a few of them and it still only lasts for about 50 seconds.
Yeah, those ones must be pretty powerful then.
Yeah, they must. So I've had to keep that on the main combat deck and instantly available because that sort of keeps me alive a little bit longer.
Yeah, I have those kind of cycling around. I hit them every so often, so they just kind of stay on.
Yeah, that's right. So that's been a useful little trick and a tip, so it's made my life a bit happier this week.
Well, that's a great tip. I'm glad to know about that. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah. No, it's nice. So if you want to go to the trouble, just make yourself up a completely separate deck consisting of all of your buffs, all of the glyphs that you've got, and kick that up as soon as you get in. Play with them, stack them, then cast them when you get a 4 or 5 stack, and then you're good for whatever, 30, 40 minutes of adventuring.
That's awesome. It's maybe a little bit of work at first, but yeah, it's a long time.
It is. I mean, it certainly beats the 2 minutes or whatever, 2-3 minutes that it used to be, because, you know, you'd be worrying about it all the time. Oh, it's time to hit the buff again.
Yeah, plus it probably frees up some space for some more stuff.
It does. Absolutely does. I've been able to expand the main combat deck a little bit more. So yes, you've got more space for whatever else you want to put on the deck. It's great.
Yeah, that's a nice improvement. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, really, they're coming up with improvements all the time. And I think the game's looking better and better, so it's great.
That's quite important to make the combat funner and funner. That'll help the game a lot.
Oh, really will. That's for sure. Okay. So there we go. That's my tip of the week, which I can't claim any credit for. I got from other people, but I think it's awesome and worth passing on.
Well, heck, as long as you're passing it to all of us, it's awesome, no matter where you get it from, because, yeah, a lot of us may not have known that, and it's going to help me a lot, too.
Ah, that's good. That's wonderful. Okay, well, we have a news release. We have update number 230. We've got the Boreas Colossus. We've got Libris Ruins updating. Equity crowdfunding campaign. We got the telethon success, flash sales, contest winners, community events, and much more. A lot of good stuff in the news this week.
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Okay. It's always nice to see what's happening in the game and the community. And the first item is the uncloning of the Boreas Colossus scene. This is getting more and more developed and more interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. This is going to be quite an interesting scene.
I reckon. And it's coming from a post by Travis Koleski, aka Vascorp Paw. And he says, "We continue our development of the Colossus scenes with a sneak peek of the second scene, the Boreas Colossus. Now, currently in-game is the Oracle Colossus scene that we covered in a recent video in last week's update." Yeah, I haven't found that scene yet. I'm going to have to go and look for it.
It's hard to find all these scenes. The game is so vast now.
Oh, you tell me about it. I know. You're sort of rushing around the map. You think, I've barely covered a quarter of this. This is ridiculous. But I suppose it's good because the game's supposed to last for several years.
Yeah, the bigger the better as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he says, "We hope to have this Colossus scene in release 43. And the narrative is, once again, having taken to the field, I, Earl Greyhot, bring you a first-hand account of my extensive travels. This journey has brought me to the site of the Colossus of Boreas. A sleepy fog has taken hold of the mountainside, and it begins to rain as I make my way through the many trials necessary to reach the giant statue itself. I came across strange architecture and flora around every corner." Yeah, that looks interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like the... it looks almost like it's foggy, huh?
Well, it does. And you notice they've put fog in a number of scenes in the game. And yeah, not only does it really look authentic, but sometimes you have trouble finding where you're going.
Yeah, that's actually quite cool. I have a feeling that's kind of part of the deal.
I reckon it is. And sometimes, even when you're wandering down the East Perennial Trail in Novia, or I journeyed up to Solania the other night, and yeah, the fog was a bit thick, and I thought, where is the trail?
You mean on the overworld map?
Yeah, on the overworld map, that's right.
Now that's actually quite awesome to see that stuff coming into there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it just shows the level of detail they're trying to put in. So it's really good, I think.
It's real great if they can make the overland map, you know, seem more like an adventure scene than a journey. You know, it makes it a little funner.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah, it's not just a boring trek from one place to another. And I think by putting these little visual things in, they're doing that. And of course, the encounters that you get along the way, some of them are getting more interesting. They're getting a little bit more rewarding. The chests that you can raid are a little bit more worthwhile. So it's all good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's great because I actually don't mind getting into an encounter if there's something to actually find.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And, okay, next picture, I caught a glimpse of the Colossus itself. That looks pretty big, standing up on top of the mountain.
Yeah, it looks like quite the climb getting up there, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Ouch. You wouldn't want to fall off, would you?
No, I think fall damage is pretty deadly in this game.
Yes, that's for sure. All I found a few potions of Cat's Grace. I have yet to try it out, because it's reputed to allow you to fall great distances without damage. So I wonder what they mean by a great distance.
You know, I remember seeing that potion too, and I've been meaning to try that, jumping off and see how far I can get away with, but ooh, I hate dying.
Yeah, dying's not a whole lot of fun, is it?
Well, they haven't taken away the penalty for, you know, stupidity and falls and that kind of stuff, so I'm kind of worried.
Yes, no. Yeah. Now, wouldn't it be great if you had a potion of Cat's Grace in your inventory? And if you fell off a bridge or something, you could drink it on the way down.
Hey, you know, I wonder if you can. Isn't potions like an instant thing?
Well, yeah, it is instant, but it's like casting any spell or taking any potion. You've got this little progress bar on the bottom of the screen. I wonder if you could finish drinking it before you hit the bottom. You might be all right.
That would be a serious fall, and I have a feeling it wouldn't be powerful enough to save you.
No, it might not be. Okay. Well, there's a challenge to the community. Go out and test it.
Now, in conjunction with your maybe safe fall worked up a little bit, you might be okay.
You might, that's right. Okay. That'd be fun. It'd be fun to check it out. Okay. And he says, last picture. That is a really foggy scene, isn't it?
It is, I like that.
Oh, that's beautiful. With the wrought iron fencing, looking out over the mountains, fog draping the mountains, that's lovely. He says, we hope to have Boreas Colossus introduced into the game in release 43, and he's going to continue to keep us updated as we go. So that's awesome.
Great stuff.
Beautiful. And next we have an update on the Libris Ruins. This is from Sorcerer Steve. He's giving us an update on the making of Libris Ruins. And first introduced it last week. Okay, some more lovely pictures. It looks really detailed, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like the colors and stuff in it. It's cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. And you can see all the vegetation and stuff that's taken over, and everything looks really overgrown, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the ruins tend to be pretty colorful, don't they?
They do, yes. So he says, to start, here's a look at the ancient prison. It consists of 3 cell blocks and numerous enclosures, torture chambers, and, of course, traps. Well, where would life be without traps?
They love their traps.
They do.
Anything to kill us with, you know, that's just fun.
Oh, I know. They sit there rubbing their hands with glee. And, whenever they see Avatar's bodies falling to their doom.
How do they feel about those areas where there's just so many skeletons you can't see the ground? Oh?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I walk into places like that. Like in the approach to Owl's Head, there's often a lot of skeletons lying around.
Yeah, I always wonder how people die there.
I think there are some people who like doing or exploiting PvP, and they just hang around waiting for victims.
Oh, right in the entrance. Now, that's pretty tricky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got done there once. and there was somebody just waiting, and I happened to be flagged. So, hey, as soon as I walked in, bang, there it was. I was dead.
I gotta love those invisible backstabs, huh?
Yes. Yeah, that's just evil. And I didn't catch a lot of the telephone, but I did catch one piece where they were asking Chris about that night step thing, I think it is. And you can apparently teleport to behind somebody. If you're stealthed, you can teleport to behind someone and then you can give them a backstab. And they said, what's the best defense against that? He said, well, actually, there really isn't one at the moment. Just don't get caught.
Jeez. I'm sure the PvPers love that one.
Oh, I bet they do. Yeah. That's right. Yes. I mean, imagine how much fun, if you can use that, and how effective it would be. If your stealth skill is really high, if your moon magic skills are all up there, so you're sitting there invisible, somebody walks in, next thing you know, you're right behind them and stab them in the back.
Yeah, when you're zoning in, you're really at a disadvantage because, you know, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, that's right. You're sort of vulnerable for a little while, and especially if you haven't got your buffs up and you haven't drawn your weapon. You're just sort of standing there.
You can't cast your reveal. You can't, you know, get your bearings.
That's right, yes. So it's a little bit dangerous. Oh, dear.
I know there's that brief moment of glow. When we glow, when you come into a scene, it's, I guess you're kind of safe.
Yes, I think you're supposed to be invulnerable for those few seconds while that glow is on. And, yeah, but as soon as that goes, watch out.
Oh, yeah, they're just waiting for that glow. If they could see it, I don't know if you can see it on others.
No, I don't know either. Yeah, I haven't really taken notice of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got it figured out, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But back to the story. We're in Libris Ruins again. Looking west in the background, the prison can be seen under the morning mist. Nice. While to the left, the ruined court building now lays overgrown. Yeah, it is too. That must have been an impressive city once.
It actually looked like quite a nice building.
It does. Yes. And next picture, that's a magnificent looking building. It says, as the ancient seat of justice, Libris Ruins was once the site of a prestigious court. And you've got a very, very grand entrance there. One of the pillars is toppled over, of course.
It is.
Yeah. But you wonder whether this is pre-cataclysm or whether we're going to hear about this as part of the lore of the game. This is really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, we never know what's caused the destruction, whether it's just battles or it's the, you know, that whole crash of the moons.
That's right. I wonder whether the Oracle will ever fully explain it to us.
Hey, you know, you probably have to do that leg of the thing where you can talk, you can see the Oracle to find out a lot more.
That's right. Let's hope so. I hope that there's a real story arc here, that we will finally learn what caused the cataclysm, what caused the destruction, what caused the collision of the moons, and the whole lore and story behind it. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we kind of wait for and look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. And they've got a lovely picture here. Sky cells are located high up on the cliffs overlooking the Libris Ruins, where the most notorious criminals would be brought. Yeah. I wonder if they're like the sky cells in Game of Thrones. Did you remember those?
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's where I've heard of those before.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was awesome. That was in one of the particular fortresses, refuges, the Eyrie. It was called, and it was really built on a mountaintop. You really had to climb and walk to get there. And yes, as part of their punishment, they had sort of sky cells, which, you know, they would throw criminals in, open the door, throw you in, lock the door again. The fourth wall on the outside was completely missing, so there was no wall on the outside. All there was was a all there was a 1,000-foot drop.
So if you really wanted to risk your life, you could try to get out of there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's nothing to hold on to. And the floor sloped ever so gently towards the outside, so don't go to sleep and roll over.
Yeah, if you move around in your sleep, you might be in trouble there.
Yeah, that's right. You just fall off the edge, and that saves them the trouble of feeding you next morning.
That might be kind of their plan. All right, these guys can all just kill themselves, and that'd be great.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, lovely. Yes, so, and last picture, we have a full view of the prison with the sky cells in the background. That's going to be so interesting to investigate, and I think it's a PvP zone as well. So that'll be even more interesting.
And so investigate with care.
Yeah, that's right. And be prepared to run fast.
Yeah, and maybe there's a place to hide.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there would be. There'd be lots of places to hide in around all those buildings, in the prison cells. Yeah, there'd be countless places to hide. Mind you, there's countless places for PvPers to hide too while they're waiting for you.
Well, that's right. They know the exact spots to hide to sneak up on you.
Yeah, that's right. So that will be awesome. Okay, I'll really look forward to seeing that. Okay, next item. Now, this is a really interesting item. I read this, I saw it in the forum, and I sort of halfway understand it. But in a sense, it sounds pretty exciting. They're announcing an equity crowdfunding campaign. Did you read about this one?
Yeah, a little bit. I was hearing about this.
Yeah, okay. So the blurb here is, greetings avatars. Shroud of the Avatar is at a very exciting time in development. As you know, we are in the process of putting the finishing touches on the story, polishing the new user experience, and a host of other efforts to prepare the game for a commercial launch of Episode 1 Forsaken Virtues later this year. Now, that's the most exciting thing we've heard in a while.
Yeah, they're actually talking about it now. That's great.
That's right. Okay. We're forever grateful to our backers who've helped us to reach levels of support that we never dreamed of having. That support has brought Shroud of the Avatar to where it is today. Now, with a commercial launch now in sight, it's time to focus more on marketing and user acquisition as we scale up our player base and the service. You know, this is going to take some effort, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, one, they're going to have to do marketing. They'll have to do advertising. They'll have to push the game in various marketplaces by advertising, however they do it, and advertising is not cheap. And you'll have to publish physical copies of the game, get them into stores all over the world. This is no mean feat.
No, it's a very high cost procedure.
That's right. And the next question is, what happens if we get 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 players playing the game? How many servers? How many servers? Oh, yes. Are you going to need to handle that kind of traffic? That, I think, involves buying more than one more computer.
Yeah, some serious investment, maybe?
I would think so. I mean, I don't know the tech behind all of this, but you're going to have some serious, serious hardware to handle that kind of traffic. So there we go. And getting back to the message, as part of the effort, we're transitioning from being exclusively a developer to also being a publisher. It means we need to begin focusing on marketing and user acquisition as we scale up users and the service. These efforts, of course, require funds beyond just development. This has led us to the moment where, for the first time, we get to offer you the chance to invest in Portalerium through the power of equity crowdfunding, which is also known as Regulation CF. There you go. To learn more about how you or someone you know can be part of our future, please visit the Seed Invest website. And they've got a little link to it there. So, if anybody is interested in possibly investing in the game, there's a way to do it. I had a really quick look through it. And I got to be honest, I didn't take it all in. I didn't understand it all. It's all very, very well laid out. They've been very responsible, and to cover themselves with boilerplate, they use all the standard caveats, like this is possibly a high-risk investment. You could lose all your money. You know, game development is an unknown. But having said that, they give you the other side. It's an excellent team. They've been responsible for some fantastic games. Look at the games they've developed in the past. Look at the team they have now. This is where they're at, and they would like to raise some more for the purpose of publishing and getting it out into the market. So there you are. If anybody is of a mind to have a look at this and possibly do some investing in the game, I can recommend that you check out this website.
Did you think it was a little bit like investing in stock?
Yeah, I thought it was. I don't know what rewards you'd get. I'd have to read through it more carefully. I cannot say whether you get financial rewards if the game does well. I did notice that they were offering digital rewards, as they have done for early crowdfunders, for early backers. You can get a golden house on a lot, sort of thing. There are various digital rewards that are offered for certain amounts pledged. Now, whether it goes beyond that, and whether you'd actually stand to make a profit if the game does well, I cannot say, because I didn't go into it that deeply. The only thing I can say is, if you're interested, look into it, read the fine print, get financial advice, and it may be for you.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I've never seen that in a game, so that'd be cool.
No, it would be cool. And look, the traditional model is a game is pushed out by a major publisher, like cough, cough, Electronic Arts, who have a huge bankroll and they're sitting on huge cash reserves. Their wallet is like enormous. They can afford to bear the costs of publishing a game into the marketplace because they are confident that they're going to get a great return on their investment. So that's fine. If you're an indie type developer like Portalarium is, well, you don't have huge cash reserves. So how do you get it out into the marketplace? And I guess the answer is a variant of crowdfunding. And I think that's what this is.
That's true. And we have a pretty generous and diverse crowd. So it could go places.
It could indeed. Absolutely. And there is a disclaimer here that says Portalarium is offering securities under Regulation CF and Rule 506C of Regulation D through SI Securities LLC, which is called SI Securities. Okay. The company has filed a Form C with the Securities and Exchange Commission in connection with its offering, a copy of which may be obtained here, which is www.seedinvest.com/portalarium/series.b. So there you go. It's all legal. It's all above board. It's all complying with every securities financial exchange regulation that there is. So, if anybody or anybody you know has a bit of cash to spare and you want to invest in this awesome game and help it along the next step to success, have a look at it and see if it's for you. Beautiful. Okay, next item is the Summer Telethon. Success, thank you, community. And we raised $115,000. Hey, ain't that awesome?
That's an awesome turnout there.
That is beautiful. And the devs were doing their usual crazy antics and singing and dancing and taking shots. and I think they got a little less coherent towards the end of the night, but that's what you expect.
I love the songs. They always crack me up.
Oh, that's great. Did you get to watch much of The Telephone?
A couple hours of it. I was watching it a little bit.
Oh, awesome. That's great. So, yeah, well, they got most of the stretch goals, which is wonderful. We've all got our fire elemental statue. We've got our glass oil table lamp with a flame pattern on it. Nice. And we've got a shield and scimitar. We have flame leather armor. For anybody who is wearing leather armor, you can get a flame pattern on it, which is amazing.
Great for us archery type folks.
Yeah, that's right. And, well, there's a link there. You can click to see what the complete schedule included. Very nice. Now, the recording is currently on Twitch, and there's a link to it right there. So you can watch it right off the newsletter. Or it will be uploaded to YouTube within the next few days. And as they always say, thanks again, Avatars, for making this project possible. I love it when they all get together and just toss things around, answer questions, and just generally have fun with the community.
Yeah, you learn a lot of stuff watching these, so they're really cool.
Oh, it's great. And they had a few new ONBE awards, which is amazing. And I think congrats go out to Roper Doc Holiday and Minerva and Jacob White and Caballero for their enormous and great efforts.
Oh yeah, congrats.
And Lazarus Long accepted a royal warrant on behalf of NBBN, so that's awesome as well.
Yep.
Brilliant. Okay, so well done, everybody. That is wonderful. Okay, and now they're having another weekend flash sale. 20% off a whole heap of items. And Ooh. Guess what? If you just purchased a moon dial like I did, you can say, oh, damn, I just missed the sale.
You can say, I'm going to buy another one and get a deal, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, look, if you missed the sale, buy another one and get the deal. How's that?
Yeah, it was hard not to spend money during that telethon.
Oh, it absolutely was, yes. I mean, you never know when your moon dial might break down, so you just need another one as a backup.
Well, plus if you got multiple houses, hey, you need to decorate them all.
You do? Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I can't even decorate one properly. I'm so busy trying to go out and grind and get my character up and do a bit of exploring and stuff.
It's too bad they don't have like furniture drops and quest rewards, you know, to help us decorate while we're adventuring.
Yeah, that's right. It is, isn't it? I know. I'm just grateful that the game is going to last for several years, because by the end of that time, I might be able to invite people home to dinner and my house will look decent.
You'll have a place for them to sit and everything? That'd be cool.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, I've got a few chairs scattered around, but it's nothing fancy right now.
Yeah, but I noticed you got some pretty nice plush couches in your house now.
Oh, yes. Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, yeah, they were from the add-on store, so they were no effort, but...
Yeah. That makes it better, though, right?
Well, that's right. I could arrange things a little better, but I just need the inspiration and the sort of architectural and planning skill. That's what I need.
Yeah, we almost need like some templates we could use that would organize things real nice for you.
Yeah, that's right. And some of the houses, like the Lord Marshall's house that I have, a lot of it's fairly open plan, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it.
You need some gigantic floor rugs for places like that, and I don't know if they really have big ones yet.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yes. Yeah, a humongous rug to cover up the whole floor. That'd be good.
That'd make a really nice little sitting area.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Well, I've got my fireplaces, and I've got some couches and lounges and chairs around the fire, so I'm getting there.
Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful house. It's just hard to get it filled in.
Yes, it is. still, we go slowly, and yeah, like I say, in a couple of years, I'll have it done, I reckon.
That's right, and then you can start on the basement, right?
Oh, don't even talk to me about the basement.
You know what I've done with mine? It's really sad. I've just thrown a bunch of chests all over it to make it look like a junk area, you know, because that's what my character is.
Oh, lovely. I hope you've labeled the chests.
I just labeled the ones I actually use. Most of them are empty. It's a mess.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Well, you can't stack them in your bank, so you got to put them somewhere.
Well, you do. That's right. I mean, I had a find the other day because, you know, these virtue cloaks that they gave out some time back?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't find mine. And I was, I know, I've lost it somewhere, or I've destroyed it, or I've traded it, or I've done something with it. I searched through every cupboard and every chest that I could. I eventually found it in a chest of drawers where I'd been putting all my hats. I thought, how did you get in there, you stupid thing?
I've done that too, thought I'd thrown something away or lost it, and then, yeah, it's in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's right. So, honestly, yeah, this game is really suited to people who have OCD, who put all the right things in the right place, in the right cupboard, in the right chest of drawers, or in the right chest. Then they know where everything is.
And that's the challenge, especially if you've got a lot of space. It's even when you got it organized, it's hard to find.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And even if you haven't got a lot of space, I mean, okay, you've got a row house, you've got a little basement, you could fit 30 or 40 chests in the basement. And then it's a question of which chest did I put that in.
Well, that's right, because there's not a whole lot of variation in our chest styles, so that makes it rough.
No, that's right. You could spend the whole day looking through all your chests to find the one piece of equipment you knew that you had. I remember seeing it sometime. I just don't remember where I put it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've sworn that when I was selling stuff, I've accidentally sold things like my bagpipes and stuff like that, because they're part of equipment. Sometimes you don't notice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you do have to be careful when you're selling all your surplus to the NPCs, don't you?
Yeah, because you just highlight everything and go, and you could miss something.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And once you've sold it, it's gone. If you ask them for it back, they say, I don't have one of those.
No, that's mine now.
Yeah, that's right. Those nasty blacksmiths.
Yeah, they love to keep everything.
They do. All right, so yes, yeah, that's another tip to the wise. Be very careful when you're selling stuff. I've seen people on the forum asking for that sort of thing, some kind of a lock on your special stuff so that you don't accidentally sell it or destroy it.
Well, yeah, some of us carry around several sets of armor and weapons for situations, and hey, it's easy to just lose track of where things are.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, it's easy to slide it over and say, oh yeah, sell that. Oh my God, I needed that.
That was my, like, staff I spent how many days creating?
Yes. Oh, it can be a cruel game, can't it?
Yeah, that's definitely cruel, I will tell you that.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, well, take a stiff drink and carry on.
Yeah. There's always the mines again.
Yes, that's right. Yes, back to the mines. Yes, and you know, just go mining for another 8, 12 hours. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I think another 1,000 silver should get me another staff that's at least half as good.
Oh, that's lovely.
You know, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but for some reason the stuff I used to craft before they added that extra line of the tree turned out better than it does now. I don't know. Maybe they've changed things.
Oh, that's a shame. Dear, oh dear. Yeah. So what are you crafting now, mainly?
Well, I've mostly been crafting stuff for my alts. Like, I had to craft a full plate armor and a full leather armor. And just the plus 1.5, it just seems low to me.
Okay, that's not good. Yeah.
It goes up to 0.6 every couple of raises. It's like, oh, gee, this isn't moving.
Ouch. Not nice.
I could have sworn I used to get plus 4s and 5s. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Okay. So they're really making you work hard for smaller rewards.
Yeah, I've kind of just given up on it being great. It's just, you know, it's something to wear. It's a lot better than the junk that, you know, you had on before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the founder stuff that you start with, yeah, it's okay, but it's really got no stats, has it?
No, you don't have any protection. The defense and all that's a lot lower on it. So, yeah, you need to make something or buy something.
Yeah, that's right, yes. And you call me crazy, but I'm still persisting in wearing cloth armor. Because... yeah, I can run a lot faster, and my fizzle rate is almost zero, so I know I can cast lightning and chain lightning and stuff anytime I want to, and it always works, which is fine, as long as I keep out of people's way.
Well, that's right. Didn't they really raise the fizzle on your chain lightning?
Yes, yes. Well, if you're wearing leather or chain armor, yeah, yeah.
They don't want people wearing heavier armor to cast efficiently, which makes sense.
Well, it does make sense. You have to give them that. It does make sense. And if you're going to be a mage or a magic user of any kind, then that's pretty powerful. And you probably don't need the protection of plate armor as well. So, yeah, fair enough. But I have to say I'm really, really enjoying seeing what it does. Because I was out last night and I swallowed a potion of might and a potion of deftness, so my dexterity was way up, my strength was fairly way up. You know, I got a bunch of mobs running at me, so I cast chain lightning and they stop in their tracks, then a few multi-shot arrows through them, and this lovely little cluster of yellow numbers floats up to the sky.
You gotta love that, especially when you see their bodies all pile up.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Yeah, two or three of those, and there's a bit more lightning and a bit more of a few other offensive shots. And I've downed the whole mob. I think, hey, this is awesome. I love it.
Yeah, you got a lot more experience, a lot more loot. That's all good.
Oh, it's great. But I still die occasionally, which is always sad.
Well, it's just impossible not to die if you're trying to seriously level. You've got to fight things that are challenging.
Well, that's it. That's right. And you get to the place where a lot of the adventuring areas just aren't worth going into anymore because you don't get the return for your effort. And so you have to go into harder and harder areas and fight the big guys.
Yeah, that's the thing about this game. If you fight things that are too low for you, you actually lose progress.
Yes, you do. That's right. Yes. Because, well, the only way you can avoid that is turn everything off and not advance your skills at all. You will accumulate experience, but, yeah, you're not really advancing.
Yeah, that's no fun. You kind of like to see things going up, you know?
Yeah, that's right, you do. Yes. Anyhow, we have a weekend flash sale, as we said. So, yes, if you didn't get a Moondial during the telethon, which a lot of us weakened and did, you can get one for 20% off. Anything from the little tabletop one to the huge one that you would put in your keep or in the grounds of a player-owned town. And let me tell you, they are just awesome.
Have you seen one out yet?
Yes, yes. They have one in Rift's End now. And wow.
Oh, those guys are champions. They put one out in the Rifts. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. So, yeah, you can walk under it and look at it, and you can click on it, and the constellations spin around. I haven't worked it out yet, but I hope to one day.
I wonder what 20% off would take off of 600.
Yeah, that's 120 off.
That's pretty good.
That's a good deal. I think you should go and buy three.
Four. You thought I got some kind of windfall here, huh?
No, you just be a typical housewife. You come home, you say to your husband, I saved $480 today.
Yeah, oh yeah, you'd like that, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Don't ask how much you spent, just how much you saved.
Yeah, just talk about the savings, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I think all the ladies out there are going to kill me now.
Hey, I don't have to answer to a husband, just to a bank, so...
That's right. Okay. All right, but look, there's a whole heap of stuff that's on special, and rather than sort of boring you and going through it all, there's almost every statue that you could imagine, from those giant-sized ones to the table ones. There is tombstones, there's bookends, there's... Yeah, pretty much every statue that you could ever think of every shape, size, and form. So if you're after a statue, doesn't matter what description, they're 20% off this weekend. So grab it.
So it looks like that list of things, it was the telethon favorites, all the stuff that sold the most, huh?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, great. That's awesome.
Good idea. That stuff should sell pretty good then.
I think it will. Yeah, obviously they're popular, and obviously people like having them to put around their house, to put around their yard, to put in the town. So great. If you haven't got one or more yet, they're cheaper this weekend. Fantastic.
Well, I finally broke down and bought myself one of those backpacks. I've been wanting one. They're so cool.
Oh, interesting. That's great. So yeah, and they act like more storage?
Yeah. And you can set them down. You know, they look really cool as a decoration.
Oh, very nice. Oh, love it. Okay. I might look at that myself.
Yeah, it was only $5. I figure, hey, this is cool.
Oh, very nice. Okay, next item. There is a community live stream touring the Oracle Colossus and Mail. This one's going to be interesting. I'll have to find time to look at this one. So, Travis Kaleski, a.k.a. Vascor Poor, he takes you on a tour of the Oracle Colossus scene. And then, oh, I never know how to say this. Joaquin? How do you say that?
I say Joaquin, but I could be wrong.
Joaquin, okay. Del Canto, a.k.a. Wizard Smoke, that's easier. Right, good. Del Canto updates the community on how mail works. Now, that'll be interesting to know.
Yeah, curious about that.
That's great. So now that all three paths, truth, love, and courage, are playable, we've begun work on the plot's finale, aka the Path of the Oracle. It's one of the most important scenes that players will be able to explore. It is the Oracle Colossus. It's well known from its depiction of the Oracle from the concept painting by Stephen Danieli, inspired by passages from the Sword of Midras prequel novel by Tracy Hickman. The Oracle Colossus will set players amongst the shattered ruins of Alabastia. Okay, nice. From the fire elementals attracted to the shifting lava. Oh, they're always fun, aren't they? To the undead attracted to the treasures found within. Adventurers must be on their guard, for mysteries abound within. Well, it wouldn't be a scene without nasties, would it?
No, we need nasties.
Oh yeah, that's right. Once implemented as a placeholder, this scene is now being polished into its final state. And as mentioned in the Release 42 instructions post, this scene is now available to play. Awesome. Okay, we're going to have to go and fiddle with that, but I'll have to do the third leg first because I haven't done that yet.
Oh yeah, got some catching up to do still.
I do, yes. Okay, and as I said, I think I'll like to reset these three main quests once the game is released because I'd like to play them through completely once they're perfectly polished.
Yeah, it's all the funner to try it, you know, when it's all fresh and new. And it looks as good as it's going to look. That helps a lot.
Oh, it does. That's right. And, of course, the advantage for us players who have been here from the beginning and from the early days, we've got some character development happening. And by the time we come to do it again, we'll be a pretty high level. So we'll just sail through and swap all the baddies aside. It'll be no trouble.
And you can focus on reading the story and seeing all the things like that. That'll be fun.
That's right, it will. It's not a continual white-knuckle terrifying battle to stay alive. It'll be a lot more casual and enjoyable.
You can just bat them out of the way. Get out of my way here. I'm going to try and see what's going to happen here.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I was even doing that in the Crag foothills last night. teamed up with one of my guildies, and it's so much easier with two of you. And, you know, a few people come and jump on you and say, oh, stop it. Now, stop annoying me. Go and drop dead. You know, there you are. That fixed your little red wagon.
Yeah, that's awesome when you can just knock those guys down.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it. Okay, next item. The winners of the Trophy Room contest have been announced. That was a great contest. And he says, congrats to all participants involved. There were some truly amazing entries. We not only had a record number of participants for a contest of this type. That's awesome, isn't it?
It is.
It obviously shows how well received it was and how excited people got. But each and every entry was unique and well thought out. So the winners, drum roll, ta-da. Okay, first place is Datendrak. And big congratulations. That looks absolutely awesome.
That's a beautiful room. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it just looks beautifully laid out. And I think, as he said, every entry was absolutely wonderful. And second place was Asseltine. Big congrats.
Yeah, congrats. That's an awesome room, too.
It is. Runner-up was Triponin. Okay.
Look at all the trophies he's got. That's crazy.
I know. That's amazing, isn't it? Another runner-up, Frostal. Yeah, that looks awesome as well.
Very cool.
And a number of honorable mentions. We have the Hall of Hammers by Caballero. Yeah, you collected a few hammers there.
That's neat. It's all one kind of weapon. I like that.
That's great. And Obsidian Tempest. Very nice.
That's beautiful.
Yep. And Rudyard 2. Again, absolutely lovely. So many people in the community have obviously seized on this and got excited about it. And that, you know, that's what makes the game really awesome. People get the excitement and they become invested in whatever aspect of the game it is, and they just want to be involved. And it really makes for a strong game and a strong community.
Yeah, these are great contests too. For all play styles, everybody likes to decorate. It's just part of the game.
It is, absolutely. So I think whoever dreamed up that idea, I think they were really on a winner there. And I hope we have more contests coming out. It'll really keep the involvement up and keep people excited and interested in doing the best that they can about, you know, whatever facet of the game that they're interested in.
Yep, that's for sure.
Okay. Right. Now, another item, Tech Talk Tuesday, number 6. We've got Decoding the Oracle. And here's another video about Chris Spears, aka Atos, Talks Shop on the Oracle and the general tech behind the game ahead of this week's Past Summer Telethon. So if you're interested in the tech behind the game and how they work out all the complex mathematics and detail and stuff that, you know, goes behind everything that happens, you know, how do you work out how much to multiply the damage by and how to calculate a glancing blow and all that sort of stuff? Chris knows.
He knows all those numbers.
He does. He does. And I still, I've wondered many times how he keeps it all in his head. His brain must be exploding sometimes. But you'd have to have a gift for that sort of thing. And he obviously does have the gift, and it's building an amazing game.
It is. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. And I did try to tune into the telethon, as I said, at, you know, some times or another. This was in between sleeping half the time and going to work the other half. So, you know, work and sleep are a bit tedious. They take away from the fun things in life.
Yeah, they haven't found a way yet how to sleep and enjoy the game at the same time.
No, that's right. But I did see Chris making a comment the big goal for the next release is performance. And he's given the team a challenge. Every city has to give a frame rate of 30 frames per second on decent machines. And yeah, that's a worthy challenge, that one.
Yeah, I bet you the hardest cities for him to take care of are the ones with the housing mixed in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of housing. And he did mention, this is just drifting and segueing a bit. He said, you know, people complain that they want more pets and things like that. He said, yeah, that's fine. But pets are a significant drain on resources. And every time the whole scene loads, you have to load all of those things. And I guess you have to factor in the fact that this pet can move and it's got a little bit of tech governing its movement and its interaction and stuff like that. And if everybody had 15 pets, then that's 15 times that, times the number of people, times the number of houses. Oh dear. This is why you get slow loading times and hitching and all that sort of stuff. He said it's going to get better. It's part of it is the way that Unity is handling garbage at the moment. I don't know what garbage is, but he obviously does. He says that's going to be fixed in release 43. So that is awesome. If they're going to do an entire release based on performance and getting the game to run faster and better and lower loading times and all of that sort of stuff, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, that's the kind of, like, scene loads especially is what we're looking forward to seeing improvements on.
Oh, absolutely. Because you see those little numbers running up in the bottom left-hand corner. Yeah, it sort of scoots up to 50 and then it slows and then it often gets stuck on about 94. You think, what are they doing? What's happening here?
I know, and sometimes it makes you wish you could just go from where you're trying to get to where you're trying to get to instead of all these in-betweens.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So, and I don't remember exactly what he said. I think it was something like a third of the current loading time. That would even be nice. But that is the big challenge for release 43. So there are great things coming. And that sort of thing's encouraging because polish is what they need to prepare the game to show to the general public.
Yeah, they're going to get killed if they don't have fast load times with the general public. Ooh, boy, there's no patience out there.
Oh, no. Well, you even see it in the forums now sometimes, don't you? You get new players coming in and saying, oh, it's clunky, it takes a long time to load and stuff like that. And you have to tell them gently and nicely that, yes, it does, you're absolutely right. This is a game that's still under construction. Yeah, the roof isn't quite on yet. The paintwork hasn't gone on yet. It's going to get better. We're still putting in the essential superstructure and the essential foundations for what's coming later.
Yep, just finishing up those inside walls right now. We'll get there to the roof and the paint.
Yep, that's right. And once we get the roof and the paint on, it's going to look awesome. So the devs do try. When you get your loading screen, when you first go into the game, they say in big red letters, entering construction zone. They do try to make that point. And they try to make people realize that this game is not finished. There are many elements that are not ready yet. And one big one is performance. But it's coming. And it's good to know that it is coming.
Yeah, I don't think they can really focus on performance until they've got all the stuff in.
Well, that's right, yes. Yeah, with my limited understanding, I'd totally agree with that. They'd need to put all the tech in and make sure all the foundations and all the essential systems are in place. And then they can polish them. And then they can make sure everything meshes with each other. There's nothing more frustrating or stupid. You know, I just thought of something that I've seen happen in the neighborhood. It's a wonderful example of lack of coordination. You know, a council will decide to resurface a road. So yeah, great, they get the guys in and get all the road building machinery in and put a brand spanking new surface on the road, and that's fantastic. And then another company, like a telephone or power company, needs to run a cable across under the road, so they dig it up again.
Oh, that's just annoying.
Oh, it's just insane. It's stupid. And that's just a lack of coordination between different bodies and different companies. The smart thing would be to lay the cables first and then surface the road. And to use that analogy, if we're saying, well, the game's not finished, it's not polished yet. Yeah, right, we will put a new surface on the road. Let's lay all the cables first and let's get everything done. And then we don't have to dig things up and to put the structures underneath again. We only have to do it once.
Well, that's actually a good example, because you think of it, here's a new feature we're going to put in. Oh, but that goes underneath all of the streets we just built. So you think it could be stuff like that happening.
There could well be stuff like that happening, yes. I mean, I'm totally waffling off the top of my head because I don't understand computer and coding and game building technology very much, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if that sort of thing happens. A lot of things are dependent upon other things. And once you get everything in, then you can put a gorgeous looking road over the top, and it's all going to be as smooth as silk, and that'd be fantastic. And that is coming. And the fact that it is coming is encouraging, because it means that most of the systems are in place. All the cables have been laid, all the pipes are there, everything's cool. Now we get our U-Butte road to drive on, and it's going to be smooth.
That's right. You're going to have all your features in. Your road's going to be pretty. All your walls are going to be beautiful. Yeah, it's going to be great.
It'll be nice. Okay. So if you want to watch, there's a video here, a link to the video on the news page. You can watch Chris talking about all of this tech and all the fancy stuff. If you're interested in that, if you love hearing about all the mathematical and detailed stuff behind it, have a look at that video. It'll be well worth watching. Fantastic. Okay, upcoming events. Well, we've got release 43 is next up on June the 29th. That'll be exciting, I reckon. Now, July 27 is release 44. They did say that by July the story should be complete. So that's a bit exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, that must be our big date there,
I reckon. Yeah, SinsCon is in August 10 to 14. Release 45 is August 31. September 1 to 4 is DragonCon. September 22 to 23 is the Ultima Online 20th Anniversary Party. Release 46 is happening on September 28. And SotaCon is October 13 to 15. That'll be exciting. Release 47 is on October 26, and Hobloth 4 is on November 9 to 12. Now, I guess any one of these could be the official release of Episode 1, couldn't it?
Yep, they've just been saying later this year, so later could be anywhere from September to December, right?
Well, it could, that's right. And the tricky part is they will still be making monthly releases for the foreseeable future. So we could go up to release 150.
Well, that's true. We're moving right along, aren't we?
We are, that's right. So even though the game is released, there will be monthly patches of new content and polished content for as long as we can think about those. So that'll be awesome. Okay, next item, we've got a community event. There's a fishing derby for the Trevor Project on June the 3rd at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. New Britannian time. Prism presents a fishing derby in support of fundraising and awareness for the Trevor Project. It's in Diamond Fields. So, hey, if you want to go fishing, you know one person at least who will be right into this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Winfield loves his fish. So that's awesome. And they will be fishing off floating platforms, I believe, which is going to be a lot of fun. And I guess you get prizes for the biggest or most fish. So it's all a bit of fun, and it's for fundraising for an incredibly worthwhile cause. So that's great. It's near the Twins.
Yeah, I haven't fished lately. Is the fish getting weights yet?
I do not know. I have not fished for a very, very long time, I have to say.
Just curious if that would be a cool way to be able to judge who won.
Hey, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a way to judge the biggest and heaviest fish. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's near the Twins Foothills. Enter Port Phoenix and take the first boat on the left to Diamond Fields. We'll be at the docks. So there you go. And there's a community cause, the Airy Fund, Just One Life community cause. It's now live. And from the Trevor Project, we're spotlighting an important cause this month, suicide prevention in the LGBTQ community. That's a very worthwhile project, and it's really, really tragic when people feel marginalized. They feel picked on, they feel bullied or harassed to the point where they think that life isn't worthwhile any longer, and they take their own life, and that is an incredible tragedy.
Yeah.
So if we can create awareness, if we can stand up for people who are the victims of bullying and gender abuse, if we can help people along the way, and even save one or two lives, that'll be awesome. It says we'll be creating awareness about the subject, sharing the experiences of fellow avatars who are directly impacted by this issue, and raising funds to continue good work through gaming. Moreover, we're supporting the Trevor Project, an amazing organization that provides suicide prevention services to those in need. The theme for this initiative is Just One Life. If we work together and our efforts save just one life, then we've accomplished our mission. So join us in the fight to make a difference by helping us do exactly that. Just save one life. That's awesome.
Cool.
Great. Okay, community resources, players helping players. Right, they highlight this every week. Well worth knowing. You know, we're continually getting a stream of new players into the game, and it's so good to see, isn't it?
It is. It's awesome to see all these new people.
It's great. Yeah, you see people introducing themselves in the new player section of the forum. So it is so nice. I hope some of them came along after the free trial and decided, yeah, this is something I'd really like to play. I think I'll stick around. So that's wonderful. And just a reminder, there's a new player welcome forum, a link there, a player created resources forum. Also a link, they've got huge resources, and there is a community resources page for a complete guide to everything. So if you're a new player, just have a look in the little link section of this newsletter and go there. You will find all the help you need. So that's fantastic. Okay, recommended projects. Well, they're talking again about SotaCon, which would be an exciting place to go to if you're anywhere near Austin. Basically, you get to sit down and have roundtable discussions with the devs, and you can put forward ideas. You can say, I think the game would profit by this or that or something else. And knowing the history of the devs, they just listen to people. They drink it all in. And if any ideas are feasible, if they're doable, if they're worthwhile, you will find they end up in the game. And wouldn't that be an amazing experience to know that this little feature of the game was something that you developed or you'd thought of?
That would be so cool.
It would be fantastic. There's so much in the game already that's come directly from the community, either just from the germ of an idea or the tech that drives the idea, the feature itself, the artwork, the music, whatever it is, the stories that people write. It all comes from the community, and this game is being built as much, or almost as much, by the community as the devs themselves. So this is an opportunity. if you're able to, if you want to, head to Austin in August. No, hang on, in October, I think. Austin 2017. We just talked about it a little while ago. Join us at SOTACON Austin 2017 and take your place in history. Fantastic. Okay, backer shipping addresses. Yeah, we mention that every week. Oh dear. I truly hope that they will post out the physical goodies very soon. They've got to do it within the next 6 months, for goodness sake.
I'll bet you we're still talking about it after that, because there's still people getting physical stuff, right?
Oh, I don't know. My belief, I don't know whether I'm right or not. Most of the physical stuff will be tied up with pledges. And all the people who've pledged, all the backers, there's a few physical goodies waiting for them. And they're going to be posted out sometime. Somebody in the office is going to be incredibly busy sometime over the next 6 months. So look, make sure you get into your account page, fill out your profile, and then they'll know where to send it all. Fantastic.
Yep.
Good, good, good. Excellent. And that would be the news of the week.
Awesome stuff.
That is great. So, look, a fantastic new release. I'm really enjoying release 42. There are a number of features that I've found already, as talked about earlier, about the buffs and potions and stuff like that. I know there's a whole lot more that I haven't even scratched the surface of yet. So it's just a matter of getting back into the game and finding out all this cool stuff. But really liking the way the game's going.
Yeah, there's a lot of great new features that are coming into the game that are making it a lot more fun.
Absolutely. So, only thing to do is get back into it and have fun. Try not to die too often to too many of those evil, nasty monsters. And we will catch you next week.
Yeah, I hope everybody's having fun and getting lots of playtime in. So we'll go on out and play some more. The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.